Welcome to Does the Team Think with Arthur Askey, Ted Ray, Cyril Fletcher, and the man who hatched up the idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards. And now, team, you're going to hear a question from Mrs. Elsie Berman.
Can the members of the team remember the first girl they ever took out? And their first meeting with her family.
Can the members of the team remember the first girl they ever took out and their first meeting with her family?
Well, the first girl I ever took out was a nurse. Her name was Florence Nightingale. And I went to see her family in Berkeley Square.
Lovely, yes.
Because the Nightingales lived in Berkeley Square.
And her father said, you can't get away with that Crimea.
Oh, that's it. That was it. Now, as a matter of fact, I proposed to her, but she was a dyed-in-the-wool spinster, and I asked her to marry me, but she wouldn't. She said, I've got a dog that growls, a parrot that swears, a fireplace that smokes, a cat that stays out all night, so why should I get married?
I remember the first time I had anything to do with a girl just as if it was yesterday. Matter of fact, it was yesterday.
And you know, a lousy day yesterday was, don't you?
I called one night on my girl, and her father jerked me into the hall and said, what are your intentions so far as my daughter is concerned? And my girlfriend called down the stairs, Daddy, that's not the one.
What about the families of these girlfriends you met for the first time?
I remember the first time I met that girl's father. He had to talk through a grill, as it happened.
Because your honour was at stake.
May I tell you of a very quaint romance?
Please do.
When my shirt came back from the laundry, it had a note attached to it. Will you send me a photograph? So I thought, this is real romance, and I sent her a photograph, and she wrote back. Oh, I was so excited. She'd written, I only wrote because I wonder what sort of chap would wear such a funny shirt.
Is that three sleeves?
Well, I met this girl at a gay 90s party.
Oh,
all the men were gay and all the women were 90. Except her. She was a very, very nice girl. And I took her for a walk along the seashore, trying to get a bit romantic, you know, and there was a crescent moon up in the sky, and I said, look, darling, look at that little crescent moon up in the sky. She said, yes, that reminds me, I've got to cut my toenails tonight.
Mrs. Berman, can you remember the first occasion when somebody took you out and perhaps when he had to meet your family?
Yes, very well. My first boyfriend was a vegetarian. But I forgot to tell my mother, you see. And when we came home to dinner, she gave him loads of roast beef. And he ate it under protest, of course. He kept on making funny faces. But she thought he liked it so much that she gave him another lot. And he really suffered. And he just threw me over after that.
But the silly things you do when you're a young boy and you're getting sort of into the age of, you know, adolescence. And the things I did,
like
I used to carry her books home, you know. Carry her books, and I used to do funny little things to amuse her, like running my head along the park railings. It didn't half hurt. You know, this business of meeting the family, which is answering the question, I think, Mrs. Berman, I got such an inferiority complex when I first met my future wife's family, because, do you know, I knew that they were well off. They had fruit on the sideboard when nobody was ill.
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, Mrs. Berman. Team, here comes a question put to you by Mr. Jack Jennings.
What is the team's favourite joint on Sunday?
Oh, dear. What is the team's favourite joint on Sunday?
What we do is to take out a mortgage and buy some roast beef.
Out of mortgage, I love that. You know, it's so expensive, this beef, isn't it? Our butcher, he charges you 2 new pence unless you smell the hook.
Well, of course, it's not essential these days, Mr. Jennings, to have a joint on Sunday, as they say, it's so expensive. There was a fellow, and his wife gave him kitty cat sandwiches for lunch every day. And he killed him in the end, you know. It didn't poison him, but he broke his neck trying to lick his tail.
He must have been, must have been canned, Arthur. He must have been
canned. One man's meat is another man's risso.
Well, I think if I had to have my answering your question, which I'm the only member of this team that seems to be doing that.
You're the only member who's talking.
That's right.
Well, that's why.
No, well, I've drawn breath three times and put it back again.
All right. I won't say it.
Jimmy Edwards.
I know. Well, I went in and asked this fellow. I said to him, listen, I want to marry your daughter. And he said...
No, that's the other question, Jim. That's the other question.
And he said, that's not my daughter, it's a leg of pork.
No. I said to him, I want her hand. He said, what am I going to do with the rest of her?
You left the best part, didn't you?
Yes.
What when is your favourite joint on Sunday, Jimmy Edwards?
Well, beef. I like beef on Sunday. It's absolute tradition.
I bet you like it red too, don't you, Jim?
I like a bit of both.
Oh. No, we're talking about food at the moment.
Beef is a traditional English dish on Sunday, as far as I'm concerned. And quite honestly, when somebody reminds me that it's Sunday, although I don't always know what day it is, there's an awful lot of bells ringing in my head sometimes, and I think, this must be Sunday, but it's just a hangover. But when I know it's Sunday, my stomach immediately conditions itself for roast beef, Yorkshire pudding, gravy, roast potatoes, and all those trimmings. But I like a bit of pink, a bit of the outside.
Can't be bad.
That black bit at the end.
I've got a grandson. He loves not so much the roast beef. He loves Yorkshire pudding. And last Sunday, he asked for a fourth helping of pudding. And I said, if you eat any more pudding, you'll burst. He said, well, pass the pudding and keep out of the way.
Mr. Jennings, are you a traditional eater of a Sunday?
Yes. I know that Jimmy and Ted, being favourites among the ladies, are always looking for best neck and breast, but they often get the cold shoulder.
That's good.
That's very good.
I've often wondered, are you a butcher, by the way, Mr. McIntosh? This is the first time we've ever had a butcher on this programme, except you two, and who butcher all the jokes. But I'd like to ask you, I've often wondered, what is best end of lamb? I mean, how can you tell which is the best end?
The best end is the one they charge you most for.
No, but what does another lamb think is the best end of another lamb?
I should think the best end of a lamb is to ask the ram.
Don't tell me that you look at a lamb's carcass and say, that bit of meat looks better, so that's the best end, we'll charge him more. There must be a standard end, which is the best. Well, is it the back or the front?
Well, in lamb, it's the front.
It's the front. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you, sir.
I went to Jimmy's birthday party last year, and we had roast beef, as he said, he loves roast beef, but we also had a birthday cake to follow. And you know, he's the only man who can blow on his birthday cake and light the candles.
You know something? I tell you that...
I had some steak last Sunday, but I found it was so tough and it was terribly difficult to bend the gravy.
Well, really, we were a very poor family.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Uncle Reuben.
My mother would send me round to the butcher's and we'd have to eat things like... She said, get a sheep's head... and ask him to leave the eyes in so it'll see us through the week.
Of course,
thank you very much, you four. I needed
a lot of
you.
People like poultry and things like that as a change from beef. I know I went in a restaurant the other night and I said to the waiter, have you got a wild duck? And he said, no, but I've got a tame one I could aggravate for you.
And then on another occasion, my mother sent me round to the butcher's and said, ask him if he has any pig's feet, you see. Because they were very cheap and I can't. I'm sorry about this.
No, you can't.
I'm sorry about that. I can! And I will.
Go on.
And I went, I was only six, you see, and I came back and she said, well, has the butcher got pig's feet? I said, I don't know, he had his boots on.
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, Mr. Jennings. Team, Mrs. Elsie Marlowe faces you now, and she faces you with this question.
Professional footballers kiss and cuddle when a goal is scored. What does the team suggest they do when a player is badly fouled?
Oh, dear. Professional footballers kiss and cuddle when a goal is scored. What does the team suggest they should do when a player is badly fouled?
Well, I think there's a growing tendency these days... for men to kiss each other. I know when I come to this session of Does the Team Think, I always have to watch Ted here. Only this morning I had to hit him with my handbag.
I couldn't hear a word Arthur said because my hair was under the dryer.
I like those programmes where they show you a resume of yesterday's football and all they do is score goals.
That's right.
And kiss each other.
That's right.
In 20 minutes, there's 20 goals. But if only the whole game was like...
I overheard one footballer say to the other, "Why is it that you kiss so divinely?" And the other one said, "I used to play the bugle in the Boy Scouts."
Well, well, Mrs. Martlow did ask us, what does the team suggest they do when a player is badly fouled?
Yes.
Well, there's only one thing you can do if a player is badly fouled, and that is take him to the hospital if it happens to be open. Well,
somebody commits a really serious foul, he should be denied 6 kisses.
I overheard one footballer say to the other, "Give us a kiss." And the other one said, "My lips are chapped." So the first one said, "Well, one more chap won't hurt them."
Why do you suppose the footballers are inclined to kiss each other?
Well, they don't, actually.
It's money.
Of course
money.
They do.
No, it's all money. Showmanship.
It's money.
Like me, when I finish my act, the two people in the audience stand up and give me a standing ovation.
I don't want it to sound as if I spend all my time in footballers' changing rooms, but I did overhear another couple, one of whom said, "Come on, give us a kiss," and the other one said, "No, I've got scruples," and the first one said, "Don't worry, I've had it."
Ted,
right.
You were once a pretty good footballer yourself. Were you ever fouled in your career?
Yes, I was. I played for Liverpool Football Club as an amateur. I wasn't big enough. We had a wonderful time there. It was my ambition to be a footballer. And we were original. We used to have a square ball for taking corners.
I overheard two footballers talking together.
In the dressing room.
One said, "The only one I kiss are my brothers." And the other one said, "Oh, what lodge do you belong to?"
Well, it's like the Frenchman who was awarded the Cross of Valour, and he never got it. He was so ugly, they couldn't find a general brave enough to kiss him.
Thank you, team. I have to blow the whistle on that question. Thank you, Mrs. Elsie Marlowe.
You're thinking of Jean Marlowe, are you?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to meet our special guest, a delightful lady who has a special place on your TV screens. An expert on consumer affairs, ladies and gentlemen, Esther Ranson. Esther, welcome to the panel. May we have your question, please?
My question is, if dissatisfied with some piece of equipment, do the members of the team complain?
Just the sort of question we'd have
expected. Esther has asked, if dissatisfied with some piece of equipment, do the members of the team complain?
I've been dissatisfied with my equipment for 55 years. And I've been complaining, but I'm stuck with it.
Well, we can't all be perfect, Jim. Nobody's perfect.
Jim, are you really that young?
50. I'm the youngest person working on this panel.
You keep on saying that, and I hate it.
I know you hate it, but you've got to face the truth. Young Jim, they call
Young
it.
Jim, he's only a slip of a boy, but by God, how he slipped.
I don't think Esther's talking about that sort of equipment. That was a vulgar riposte. I do apologise. I know you're talking, but I mean, you're talking about any goods in a shop, aren't you? Not just equipment.
It's like the fellow went in to have a haircut, and he said to the barber, "I'd like my hair cut like that detective on television, Columbo." So the fellow said, "Okay, I'll do that for you, sir." So the fellow sat in the chair, and he dozed off to sleep. When he woke up, he found his head had been completely shaved. And he said, "What the hell are you doing, you silly barber?" He said, "I said I wanted my hair like Columbo." He said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Of course, that's the one in the dirty raincoat."
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, if that barber had been a champion boxer of the world, he'd be Ali Baba, wouldn't he? But I'll tell you a funny thing, Esther.
I hope you're going to.
I don't know why you're trying to be extremely funny center. And sarcastic at my expense.
Oh, Ted. Oh.
I can't even. I think it's terrible.
Oh, so do
we. I mean, I never make fun of you.
No. Oh, that's because he's only 55.
Yeah.
Just because he happens to be the youngest.
I want to turn my attention to Esther Ransom.
And a very good idea, because I think Esther is absolutely lovely. And if anyone here would like a picture of Esther to hang on their walls, all you've got to do is send the postal order for 20p. And if you send the postal order for £2, she'll come round and hang on the wall personally.
Esther, after that introduction, can we ask you what advice you might have about people who get equipment who, should they complain?
Yes, I don't like being framed like that, I must say. Well,
God!
Oh. You can come and hang on my wall any time, love.
You are kind.
Esther.
Turning our attention to complaints, it all depends, of course, how serious your complaint is. I mean, I would say that Mr. Edwards really needed the hair of the dog that bit him for his complaint. On the other hand, he is wearing it, clearly. But turning to other forms of equipment, if you buy something new which doesn't work, like a car.
Or the Wash Brother.
You can put up with him. But if it's a car, and for instance, it's badly tired or choked or exhausted,
yeah.
Or you get a table that has not a leg to stand on.
Great.
Then there's some legislation.
She's a clever girl, isn't she?
Always was.
Oh, she doesn't come too often. She makes us look silly.
What I was going to suggest was an act of Parliament, not for Jimmy's equipment, but if he's got a complaint about equipment that goes wrong, then there is the Sale of Goods Act 1893, which is quite easy to remember because the programme is 18 years old, isn't it?
It is, yes.
So you can remember the 18, and you've got the 93, and your team, after all, is...
Arthur actually, in fact, is 93.
I'm not quite.
I think Esther has one more point to make.
Yeah, come on, Esther. I could see you were breathing. That's when you see me, you breathe heavily, don't you?
Always, yes.
It's on the telephone.
It's the short pants. Anyway. Yeah.
Not the long toms, the short pants.
Oh. What you have to be very careful is... the equipment might be in perfect working order, and it might be just you've gone off the whole idea. In which case, all I can suggest is a cold shower and some spiritual comfort.
Talking about pieces of equipment, I don't know whether you heard about the young fellow whose wife was expecting a baby, and one night she started as if she was going to have the baby, so he phoned for the doctor, and the doctor came rushing round, went into the bedroom, and he came out and he said to the young husband, "Get me a carving knife as quick as you can." He said, "Get me a carving knife." So he got the carving knife and went back in the bedroom, shut the door, and the doctor came out again and said, "Get me a hammer and chisel." So the young husband went and got a hammer and chisel, went upstairs again, and then the doctor went in, shut the door, opened the door again, said, "Get me a crowbar." He said, "My God, what's going on here? What's wrong with her?" He said, "How the hell do I know? I can't get my bag open."
Jimmy, talking of complaints, you may have heard the chap who washed his parrot in detergent, and the parrot died, and he complained. And they found out in the end that it wasn't the detergent that killed the parrot, it was a spin dryer.
Ted Ray.
You know, the great Max Miller once said that in his younger days, he used to sell sheets and pillowcases and blankets and that kind of thing. And a lady came in and she bought a pair of blankets for £5. And she went out, and she'd got halfway down the street, and in another shop, she saw the identical blankets for £3. So she complained, and she went back to Miller, and she said, "Look, I've been done on these blankets." He said, "You haven't wasted much time, have you?"
Thank you, Jim, very much, and thank you, Esther Ransom.
Well, imagine.
On our team, following Esther Ransom, we have Mr. Peter Clark, who has a question for you, and this is it.
Do the members of the team ever buy in particular shops because there's a pretty assistant behind the counter? And what shops do they find usually have the most attractive assistants?
Do members of the team ever buy in particular shops because there's a pretty assistant behind the counter? And what shops do they find usually have the most attractive assistants?
Well, the counters are so high these days, I usually can't see the assistant. But I went into the shop the other day. I was going to get some perfume. And I walked in and I said to this fella,
excuse me, can you tell me where the perfumery department is, please? And he said, well, since you came in, it seems farther off than ever.
Jimmy Edwards.
I was simply about to say that... What was I about to say?
Cyril Fletcher.
I wasn't going to say that, no.
Well, you think what you were going to say, Jim, and I'll tell them about when I went shopping for Betty. That's my old woman, of course.
Did you get her?
It's very... It's very embarrassing, you know, going shopping for a woman, especially as Betty wanted a bra. This girl recognized me and said, don't get embarrassed, Mr. Fletcher, about buying a bra, because we give them these trade names. It's perfectly all right, she said. We have the Dictator. That's for the suppression of the masses. And then we have the Salvation Army. That's for the uplift of the fallen. And then we have the Political Agitator. That's for making mountains out of molehills.
Cyril, thank you, Mr. Clark.
Finish on that.
No, I'm not going to finish on that. He hasn't had a word in yet. Mr. Clark, do you find, in fact, that when you go into shops, you are influenced by the attractiveness or the unattractiveness of the shop assistant?
Yes, indeed. The trouble is, I forget what I go in there to buy at times.
I buy an assistant.
Why, because she's so attractive?
Yes, normally.
What shops do you think have the most attractive assistants? To answer your own question.
I find baker shops have the most attractive assistants.
Baker shops?
Yes.
Bakers.
You have a lot of tarts there.
No.
I go into a music shop because of the man's personality. He's got a wonderful personality. This man, he can talk about violins and, you know, forever. And a wonderful, interesting man. And a little mouse came in one day and said, could I have a mouse organ? And the fellow said, now, isn't that funny? Did you hear that? I said, yes, I did. He said, because another little mouse came in yesterday and asked for a mouse organ. He said, oh, that must have been harmonica.
Thank you very much, team, and thank you, Mr. Peter Clark. Thank you. And now, team, listen carefully, because here's a question put to you by Mrs. Kitty Johnson. Mrs. Johnson, welcome to the programme. What's your question, please?
I forgot the day I was moving house. Have the team ever forgotten to be ready for or failed to turn up for any special occasion?
I forgot my umbrella this morning. I didn't realise it until I raised my hand to close it after it had stopped raining.
Do you use a lot of umbrellas?
No.
Because I do. I use umbrellas quite a lot. Although I'm near the ground, you know, I catch the rain. And I went to get one the other day, and there's about half a dozen, and they all wanted mending. So I took them along to the shop, half a dozen of them under my arm, and he said, oh, yes, I'll do these for you. There's not much wrong with them. Call back after lunch. So I went and had my lunch. As I was coming out of the restaurant, I saw an umbrella, and as I always carry one, I automatically took it. And an old fella came rushing up to me and said, hey, well, that's my... Oh, I said, I'm sorry, force of habit, and I gave it him. Anyway, I went back to the shop about an hour later, picked up my half dozen umbrellas and put them under my arm and got on the bus, and this old fellow was sitting opposite to me. He said, my God, you've had a good day, haven't you?
You know, Arthur was walking down a country lane with an umbrella, and a farmer rushed out and picked him up and says, my word, the mushrooms are growing well this year.
I once put out my wife, wound up the clock, and got into... I'll start again.
Start again, Cyril.
I once put out my wife, wound up the cat, and got into bed with the clock.
You can't even remember to do the absent-minded jokes now, can you?
It's all about...
Team, since this programme has run for nearly 18 years, could I ask, and I'm guilty of not having turned up when I should have been sitting in this chair, have any of you at any professional engagement ever failed to turn up when you've signed the contract?
Yes, I have.
By accident, for some reason.
I went to Manchester to do a one-nighter and found out... I can't remember her name. No, I went up to do this show in Manchester, and when I got there, I was a week too early.
A week too
early? Yeah.
Mrs. Johnson, you said in your question that you forgot the day you were moving house. What happened?
Well, I was lying in bed reading the newspaper when the men suddenly appeared at the door.
What did you say to them?
I said, I suggest you go up to the pub while I get some clothes on.
And what did they say to you?
They said, we will.
Are those the
and
Bear
they
facts?
Did.
What unenterprising men.
And when they
could
came...
Have taken, they could have moved you in the bed.
Right, Mrs. Johnson, carry on.
And when they came back, we all got rather giggly. K carrying out books in pillowcases and various things in saucepans and my three-piece jigsaw set in my hand and things like that.
Mrs. Johnson, do you think that these gentlemen would ever forget anything?
Oh, yes, I think they might forget their wedding day.
Ah.
I'll never forget my wedding day.
I'm trying to forget mine.
I'll never forget...
You'll never forget it, Jim, when her father put that shotgun in your back.
It wasn't the only thing that was sawn off.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, dear. But, you know, she's...
I knew I'd seen you before, though,
Mrs. Johnson.
It's
funny you should ask this question about this forgetting, because I've... Oh, I forgot what I was going to say.
Only this morning, I slammed my wife and kissed the front door.
Any of you seriously ever forgotten to turn up for a professional engagement?
I told you mine.
Well, I have forgotten to turn up for a professional engagement. I was sitting at home, and the phone rang, and they wanted me 100 miles away.
That was the audience.
the audience. You know, yeah.
Only, you know, I must tell you this, because...
I haven't finished yet.
He's 100 miles away.
I'm sorry, Cyril.
Oh, that's all right.
I thought you hadn't turned
it
up.
It might have been a better finish, yours, actually. But eventually, I dashed into the car, you see, put my evening dress on and everything, dashed into the car, and I drove like a mad thing through the night and got there within reasonable time of the engagement to be told by the organiser that we'd had an amateur on and he did odd odes and it was much better than you.
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, Mrs. Kitty Johnson. And there, I'm afraid, we must close Does the Team Think for today. On behalf of Jimmy Edwards, Arthur Askey, Ted Ray, Cyril Fletcher, and our producer, Edward Taylor, our thanks to all our questioners and, of course, our special guest, Esther Ranson. And if you'd like to ask the team a question, let's hear from you. And we hope you'll all join us again next week. Till then, this is MacDonald Hobley saying goodbye to you all. Goodbye.